I want to dedicate the sikha to three sets of people. Set number one is the alumna. Set number two are the imminent alumni, like Alta Gross. And Michael Sutton Center. As has been my custom in passing Thursdays, I've been discussing with my shir in the morning and the afternoon what my sikha topic should be. And I've been looking for them to inspire me. And this afternoon, I had an interesting conversation with my shir. And one of the guys said, Rebbe, blast us, just totally destroy us. That's what he was looking for, and I told him it's in general that's not always my style. It's not my style. I'm not the fire and brimstone type of guy that we have other people for. Spinus, how you doing? You can go now. I just needed a line there.
Now make
me
nervous.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. So it's not my start, but there is an interesting psychology which I do want to point out, that a guy who wants fire and brimstone, Musa, tell us, blast us. So on the one hand, what he's expressing is, like, what's he expressing? What's he looking for? So he's looking for one of two things. Either he's looking for, like, I get uplifted when you tell me how bad I am, how horrible I am at getting to a minyan on time. You tell me how bad I am in terms of shmiras hasdarim, and how I don't, I could do so much better than I'm doing. It helps him. It makes him uplifted. That's one reason a person might do that. Now, modern-day Musar, typically, is built on a different concept. It's built on what we'll call the Slabodka model. And the Slabodka model is one of Gadlus HaAdam. And look at your potential. Look at who you are. Look at your Tzelem Elokim. You're so great. So reach. Understand your Gadlus. Understand your greatness. And kind of modern-day Musa has moved a little bit away from the fire and brimstone, how terrible you are, and moved into this self-esteem, build you up, how great you are. You're like a malach. So act like a malach. Two different malachs. Now, what's the other reason a boy might want fire and brimstone? Because he finds it entertaining. It's entertaining. When a Rebbe yells and pounds away and comments this, usually there's some entertainment value. I can't believe he said that. Oh, look, he called us this, he called us that, and there's an entertainment value. And what I have observed, and someone even told me there was a well-known in this yeshiva this year, fire and brimstone schmutz, really fire and brimstone, and everyone remembers it, it was wow. And then they tell me, some guys told me, yeah, and like 10 minutes later, everyone's doing the same exact thing they were doing beforehand. In other words, the fire and brimstone had no real, it was good. It was good. And while you're hearing fire and brimstone, sometimes you have that, those chills, that chills, like, ooh, he's talking MS, and yeah. And then often, more often than not, like 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, we're doing the same exact thing that we were fire and brimstone about. We were so, like, entertained by it, and we're back to where we started. So my message to you, in this sikha, and all sikha, in all shmoozes you get, is really the challenge. It's not so much the fire and brimstone entertainment, not so much the fire and brimstone, ooh, I'm terrible and therefore I want to hear that. But what you should be taking out of every single thing a Rebbe says to you, and out of every bit of Musa that you learn, and out of every bit of Torah, if it meant something, if it spoke to you, the next step is how I can right now do something about it. Build it, take on something. He said something about minyan. about getting on time. I learned the Gemara yesterday with my Talmidim, Brachos, 7th Perek. You come and you're one of the first 10 people in Shul. You make the minyan. You get, your schar is the value of every single person that comes after you. 50, 60, 80 people come after you. You're one of the first 10. You get schar equal to every single person that came after you. So you hear that Gemara. And you hear that, wow, wow. And then tomorrow morning, you're back to being the 29th person at minyan. 10 minutes late, 12 minutes late, 20 minutes late. And a person has to, when he hears Musar, and it speaks to him, and he knows it's true. It's only valuable whether the Rebbe is raising his voice or talking calmly. If you then go ahead and integrate it and inculcate it into who you are. You make a Kabbalah, you take upon yourself that this is something that I have to go ahead and be inspired by, and right away, you make it practical. You make it real, and you say to yourself, oh, I do have to be better about that. I'm going to say brachos with more kavana. I'm going to work harder getting to minyan on time. I'm going to be working harder on my chazara of shir, whatever the case is. Lashon hara, you take a kabbalah right away and bring it in. Because if it's just fire and brimstone, and you enjoy hearing it, entertainment or what have you, if it didn't have, it's something you don't integrate into yourself. So again, it was good, kosher, rabbinic entertainment. So with that Hakdama in mind, I would like to share with you a Dvar Torah and present, if you will, perhaps two models, two Musar concepts. One built on a Slabodka model, the Shlemus HaAdam, and the other perhaps in a more classic Musar idea. We open up the Parasha, Parasha's Bo. Perek Yud-Beis, and we're told that Klal Yisrael have a mitzvah to do. Hashem says, you want to be taken out of Mitzrayim, you have to bring a Korban Pesach. And we're told that you're supposed to gather the lamb on the 10th of Nisan. But don't do anything with it. Yet, hold it in your house for 4 full days. And after those 4 full days, then you will go ahead and sacrifice. You'll shech the animal. You'll take the blood, says the Torah, and you will smear it on and you'll smear it on your doorposts. Why you smear it on your doorposts? So the Torah says, it's going to be an os, and I will see the dam. Who's the I? Hashem. And I will pass over, and you will not be smitten by the Malach HaMotz. A number of questions emerge. First of all, this mitzvah of Korban Pesach has a certain staccato to it. Take the animal on the 10th, but only sacrifice it on the 14th, and then smear the blood. Why not take the animal on the 14th and sacrifice on the 14th? Why on the 10th, and then wait 4 days and sacrifice it on the 14th? Question number two, what is the meaning? Why is this the get out of jail free sign? Klal Yisrael, until you do this sacrifice, the lamb, you're not getting out of Mitzrayim, and that's your ticket out. Number three, what is this business of smearing it on the doorposts? Does Hashem not know which houses are the house of the Jews? And which house? The house of the Gentile? All Esther Makos. He's smiting the Mitzrim, he's saving the Jews. Why all of a sudden do we need an oath on the doorpost so Hashem will pass over the house of the Jews? And then we're told details. A lot of details about Korban Pesach. A lot of details. Halachos, halachos. How does the Korban Pesach have to be cooked? It better be cooked roasted and not. And not boiled, and certainly not raw. Can you break bones? No bones, don't break bones. When you roast it, how do you roast it? You butcher it, and then you put it on a barbecue? No, it has to be Rosho Al Kira'ov, which basically means, if you see the picture of the Mishnais, they take a skewer, basically stick it to the mouth all the way to the bottom of the animal, and they roast it whole. And then there's a very unique din of Nosar. How fast does this carbon have to be eaten? Eaten that night, Leil Pesach, and then has to be consumed by the next morning very, very quickly. And if you don't consume it, then what do you have to do? Then it's Chayv and Sreifa. The source of Nosar is carbon Pesach. Question number 4, 5, I forget already, is why all these mitzvahs? Why all of this minutia? All of the details about how to bring carbon Pesach? Why is that important? And finally, in this context of our parasha, we're also told about the first mitzvah that's given to the Jewish people. And what is that first mitzvah? HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodeshim. You will make Nisan this month. Is Rosh Chodesh the head of all the months. And we have the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Everyone please stand up for our newly inaugurated Chayav. This sicha is certainly dedicated 100% to Yehuda Stricker, and we will come back to the specifics of that dedication if Jeremy reminds me towards the end. Okay. It's mamish you have in here. I mean, we see it now, but I'm just going to tell the boys that it's amazing to see the shliach of Hashem in protecting Klal Yisrael. Right in front of your eyes is the long arm of Hashem. Hashem is the Rosh Aleinu Sukkah Shalmecha, but his instruments of our protection are wonderful soldiers. Ashrecha Yehuda, great to see you looking gevaldik. They gave you off now. I know you're so zechai. You told me he's going. I know. Kibat Hatach Moshe. I drove him there. Yes. Okay. Great. Very inspiring, no? Good feeling, huh? Baruch Hashem. Great, you're looking good, Yehuda. Okay. You remember the questions? I don't either. But I'll remind you as we go. Rabosa, let's put shot. So this is Mechilta. The Mechilta says, why all these mitzvahs? Why the staccato of Karm Pesach, day 10, and hold it for 4 days? What's this all about? Says the Mechilta. B'nai Yisrael needed, they were in a bad state. They were in a bad state. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They didn't want to do the mitzvah Bris Milah because they wanted to be like the Mitzrim. They were assimilating Ovdei Avodah Zarah and they had to accrue mitzvahs. They needed mitzvahs. By what merit would they be taken out? So we'll give them some mitzvahs. And we'll give them details. Accrue mitzvahs. Just like the Chabadniks. I never understood Chabad Kiruv. Never really Chabad. Still don't. What's Chabad Kiruv? Come here. Put on tefillin. I don't know what tefillin is. I don't know what a brach is. Don't worry. Just say the brach after me. Baruch, baruch. Atah, atah. Just do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. Put on tefillin. Tefillin, girls, light candles. That's all. You don't know what it's about. Doesn't matter. Just do it. Mitzvahs. The hashkafa is, you crew mitzvahs. And the mitzvah will inspire you, you'll get it, something's going to happen. Mechilta says they need to accrue mitzvahs. But perhaps there's another idea. And this is clear in Chazal. Rabosai, why is the carbon Pesach the ticket out of Mitzrayim? Why is that the get out of jail free slave? So let's look at B'nai Yisrael for a moment. How many years were these people slaves to the Mitzrayim? 210 years. Just think about that for a second. 7 generations. My father was a slave, grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-great. 7 generations of slaves. You know what that does to a person? It makes him very, very subjugated. It makes him very, very docile. It makes him A person who has no self-identity, self-worth, he sees his master, he sees a mitzri, he cowers in fear. After all, for seven generations, he's an Eved. Hashem says, you want to get the Torah? You want to be my people? We need to break you from this slave mentality. We need to go through a process by which you, Avadim, will start to, if you will, step up. And we need to go ahead and give them not just any mitzvah, not just a random mitzvah, but we need to do this with strategy, with vision, so that they will be able to man up to their mitzvah persecutors and subjugators. And of course, we know Chazal tell us, what was the embodiment of the Mitzri deity? It was the lamb. That was the embodiment of their deity. So says Hashem, take their deity, or at least its embodiment, collect it on the 10th. And you know what they did with it on the 10th? They didn't just stand collected. Chazal tell us they tied it to their doorpost. These slaves took the mitzvah deity and tied it to their bedposts. And the mitzvah, you know what the mitzvah could do about it? Nothing. And the lambs started crying, started braying. And the mitzvah were powerless to do anything. And all of a sudden, the Jew, the simple slave Jew, starts to develop a sense of confidence. He's taking the mitzvah, his oppressor, taking the representation of his power, and starts to make some moves. And then he's called to bring a carbon, meaning to take that mystery god and slaughter it. Sacrifice it. Shecht it. Take the blood, mix it with dam milah, and put it on the doorposts. And where was it on the doorposts? Big machlokes, where it was on the doorposts. One man the Amar says it was on the outside of the doorposts. The other man, the Amar, says it was on the inside. And the Pasuk tells us, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Gimel, V'hayu lachem la'os. Who was the os for? By putting it on the inside of the doorpost. Seeing the blood of the mitzri deity that I just slaughtered. I start to get confidence. I start to be able to step up and become, if you will, my own person. If it's on the outside of the doorpost, similar pshat, but who's it sending a signal to? It's sending a signal to the mitzri that for many years you were the subjugators, and now you're being defeated. What's this carbon? How does this carbon work? All those details. Why does it have to be roasted and not boiled? What happens when you roast the animal whole like that on a spit? Can you still see that it's a lamb? Does it look like a lamb? It looks like a lamb. See, when you boil it, when you throw it, you chop it up, you cut it up, it no longer looks like a lamb. The message here was for Klal Yisrael to take the mitzri oppressor and his strength, which was this lamb, roast it on a spit. And what's the most intense type of cooking that you find? Direct fire. Burn it on that spit. You killed it. You shecht it. You collected its blood. Now you burn it on a spit. Don't break bones. We want this to be 100% whole so we can see that this is the embodiment of Mitzrayim. We've burned. And then what do? At the Seder night, what do? You eat it. What is a more powerful manifestation of a person, if you will, gaining control of that Mitzri oppressor than taking the embodiment of his God, and you consume it. And consume it and consume it. But if you have any left over, what do you do with it? You burn it to ash. So nothing is left at all. You see, B'nai Yisrael, living in Mitzri culture, in foreign culture, in Golos, starting to assimilate, involved in Avodah Zarah. You want to know what their ticket out of Mitzrayim is? There can be no duplicity. There can be no mixed allegiances. they had to go ahead and shirk any allegiances they had to Mitzrayim and cast their die with Elokei Yisrael. And that's exactly what Korban Pesach is casting their destiny and their die with Elokei Yisrael. And who has to make the first move? It has to be done by us first, and then the floodgates open up, if you will, then the doors of Mitzrayim open up. That's how it has to happen. That is what Korban Pesach is. Very fundamental. And what other mitzvah did we mention also comes with it? The first mitzvah we're given, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, very similar idea. Rabosai, a slave, an eved. What kind of mitzvahs is he chayv and which ones is he not chayv? An eved is potter like an isha in all mitzvahs, aseh. Shazman Grama. Why? Because an eved has no control of time. The Adam says, jump! And the eved says, only how high? There's no autonomy. He has no control of time, so he can't give him a mitzvah that is time-bound. So we're going to go ahead and free the eved of this slave mentality. And how do we do so? With the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Because what does that mitzvah tell us? Who controls time? Who governs their time? The mitzvah HaChodesh HaLachem is we control time, we are Mekadosh HaChodesh, we sanctify time. When I say it's Rosh Chodesh, that's when it's Rosh Chodesh. What a power to control time. And this is part of the maturation and the exit strategy of Bnei Yisrael. There's also Bris Milah. Bris Milah represents a mitzvah of self-sacrifice. Because you couldn't eat from that Korban Pesach without self-sacrifice. Bonding yourself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, lachniso v'briso shel Avraham Avinu. Self-sacrifice is the gateway out of Mitzrayim. And the Balei Musar point out that the term Mitzrayim is not just a historical place 3,000 years ago, Egypt. But Mitzrayim represents Meitzarim. Min ha-Meitzar karasika. A place of contraction. A place of limitation. An Eved is limited, is contracted, does not have freedom or autonomy. And Mitzrayim in general is a concept of being shackled, being limited, being defeated. And every single person, the Balei Musar say, has their own constrictions and limitations. Are we not slaves ourselves? Mom is stuck in our limitations. Some of us, we all have our Yetzaharas, and each one of those Yetzaharas enslaves us in a very serious way. Some people tell me they have a Yetzahara. There's this thing called the feminine mystique. And girls get them off kilter. Whether it's a girlfriend who might be a tug, whether it's a person can get, I'm told, a person can get like one little conversation, one little text, can start playing with his head. And all of a sudden, he's enslaved. He's bemeitzarim. He's in his own little Mitzrayim. For some of us, sports have that capacity. We're so enslaving to our fantasy leagues, our teams. It's mamish, mamish, and avodah zarah. Avodah zarah, that limits, that constricts us. The internet. How many times a day are we checking email? Are we checking Facebook? Are we interrupting our learning because of this Yetzirah that shackles me, that I'm a slave to? TV, movies, to be able to always, that's our Mitzrayim, that enslaves us, that, and we don't even get it. Like, it's so part of who we are. And we don't understand how much this can constrict us and hold us back is a person has to. And this is the mussar piece of it. And pretend I'm really yelling at you. Pretend I'm really yelling at you. But if a person goes ahead and is living this dual life, this life of Mitzrayim and Kedusha, Kodesh and Chol, there's no such thing. I was talking to someone the other day, I forget who, one of the alumni. Yeah, it was Bricks. We were talking about school. And in my opinion, the way a person should live his life is there's no such thing as Kodesh and Chol. Chol has no place. That means I don't go to school, I can't have secular studies. Of course you have secular studies. But secular studies are not Chol, not secular, they are Chachma. And you approach them as Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chachma. And I want to be a Chachma, so I'll take my studies seriously. And in every area, then all of a sudden, it's not something that's a distraction. It's part of my total personality. But when you live this duplicitous life of your Mitzrayim and your Kedusha, your Beis Medrash, and what you might do late at night, this contradiction, we all have our Mitzrayim. And the message is Korban Pesach. Well, we all have these, if you will, these Mitzri deities. And we have to take those Mitzri deities and slaughter those holy cows in order to have that Yitzhiyah. Yitzhiyah means it's right. Kiddush HaChodesh. Time. Do we control our time? Are we using our time to the max? And notice those Jews. The Mekadesh the Chodesh, where did they look to? When you Mekadesh the Chodesh, it tells that slave, look to the heavens, look to the moon, look to the stars, and understand all you can be. Understand Slabotka Musa. That you're not stuck here in this little world as a slave. You can look beyond your limitations. Look heavenward, look to Shamayim. Look to the moon, you control. Your destiny, you control your time. It's all yours. Tap in to that concept of being unbounded. Avma Vinu, he's told to count. Yitzera is going to be like the Kochavim. Understand that potential. Understand that greatness. How you can get to. You can climb higher and higher. It's an incredible thing. I want to get a little more practical and share with you. I've had a lot of conversations the past week with alumni. And very fascinating conversations. The fact that alumni come back to yeshiva is a tremendous thing. Tremendous thing. Coming back, and as I told a number of them earlier, I cannot tell you how much chizuk you give to me personally, and you give to other rabbeim, I know for a fact, and how much you chizuk you give to this Beis Medrash. And you think, maybe, you think you're coming for yourself. That's not how I see it at all. You're coming to give us chizuk. If we give you any chizuk, great. But the chizuk that you're giving us is absolutely phenomenal. It's really phenomenal. And having conversations with alumni, stark alumni, serious alumni. And in these conversations, we talk. And they tell me. And I'd like, really? How difficult it is. How difficult it is in college. Balancing. This Yetzirah pulling me. This thing pulling me. All those Yetziraths, whether it's the internet, girls, sports, TV, all of them. It's around us all the time. And still pulling, still dragging, still having that. And yet, these guys push through. And they persevere. And they accomplish. And they overcome. They break out of their personal mitzvahim, of the mitzvahim that is, all, that is around them. And the reason that they do that is twofold. I'm going to quote, because I hear it's been quoted a lot since the last sikhah 2 weeks ago. Number one, and I want you to see it, is the growth-oriented chevah, is the GOC, is the fact that they draw upon each other, and they build with each other, and they hang out with each other, and they amchazik each other. So when there's a slip, they have someone picking them up. And I talked about it 2 weeks ago as a concept. You could see it, and you could talk to these guys, and they'll tell you head on that's what it's about. But then I had another conversation, and I won't get into the specifics, but we talk about different institutions and the challenges in this place and that place. And the young man said to me, and he's 100% correct. He says, a guy who wants to do well is going to do well wherever he is. He's going to work at it and push and make sure it happens. And a guy who's not going to work as hard, who's going to kind of just go with the flow, is a very, very good chance, Rahman al-Islam, that he'll fall also, no matter where he is. And at the end of the day, the person wants to make it long term. He's got a man up. He's got to step to the plate and say, despite this challenge, and despite this factor and that factor, I am going to step up and make it happen. All the excuses in the world are there, 100%. They're all there, and you can make every single excuse in the book. But at the end of the day, you can either step up to the plate, or you don't step up to the plate. And I can tell you from these guys, that the reason they step up to the plate a year, 2, 3 years later is because of what they did in Yeshiva. What they did here in this Shana Aleph and in this Shana Bet. And yes, let's scan the room. Yeah, they stayed Shana Bet, most of them. And that's important. That's critical. 1 year is not enough, 100%. And that's my 3 years. It's barely enough. Look, barely. Avrami's like hanging on by the skin of his teeth. But that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. But you got to step up. I had a conversation with a Talmud this morning. It was a fake conversation. A fake conversation. I'm a little too sophisticated. He says to me, so he's had some minion issues recently. Says to me, Rebbe, help me feel the importance of minyan. Help me feel the importance of minyan. I said, Joe, you don't need me to help you feel the importance of minyan. You know minyan's important. Do you know minyan's important? You think minyan's important? Yeah, I think it's important. You know it's important. You knew 5 years ago it was important. You didn't need to come to yeshiva to realize that davening and getting up in the morning and starting your day like a mensch is important. You know it's important. You don't need me to tell you that it's important. So why are you asking me to tell you, help me feel it's important? Because you're engaging in a process of rationalization. You see, I'm lazy. I'm lazy. I don't want to, I'll check the man, also dedicated to you. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning because it's more comfortable to stay under my warm covers. It's more comfortable. I'm tired and I'm lazy. But I'm not proud of saying that. I'm not going to wear a banner that says I am lazy. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot. It's not that I'm lazy. I'm super duper energized. I'm absolutely not lazy. I just don't feel it's important. I need you to help me feel it's important, and that will make it happen. That's not the way it works. It's not true. You're lazy. You know it's important. You know it's the right thing to do. So now, man up. Step up to the plate. No laughing. Rabosai, it's got to happen here, now. It's not going to happen. Goals, goals, goals. We need goals. First part of the year, get into it, get used to it, develop, good. Now, as Rav Kamenetsky said earlier this week, in the middle of the winter's man, 5 weeks till Purim. You know what it's about? To go ahead and make it move, intensify real goals. Which means, for example, Rav Eisen's morning shiur, real chazara, not just lumdusha entertainment and shiur, chazara, yedias haTorah, bring it in. So I really, really, really know what's going on. So I'm going to get to, after learning Arvei Pesachim, get to Chag HaPesach with a total clarity understanding of the ins and outs of the Leil HaSeder. Bikias, you have brachos, you can master brachos. Bikias Blitz, Megillah, Makos, you have time, Night Seder, pick up a new Masechta, or Chazir brachos, and go ahead and master Torah, give yourself goals. My goal in the next 2 weeks is to finish this parak with clarity. 2 weeks later, this parak. And all of a sudden, my learning is not just happenstance, is not just, okay, the Rebbe's here, but my learning is goal-driven. And when it's goal-driven, that means that after Night Seder, perhaps on a Friday, on a Shabbos, I have my goals, and therefore I continue, because I want to hit my goals. The potential is boundless if you understand the mission of and the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Gentlemen, what is the first month of the year? Well, from Hashem's perspective, Brias HaOlam, it's Tishrei. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Haras Olam, is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. But with Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem said, it's not about me. It's not about when I created the world. That's Tishrei. It's not about me. It's about you, B'nai Yisrael. And forevermore, Nisan, when you sanctify the month, when you act, that's going to be Rishon L'Chodshei Hashanah. You know why? Because you did it. When you take ownership of your learning, of your goals, of your prakim, of your mishnayos, it's yours. You take ownership. It's HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Then, I don't care what happens a year from now, 5 years from now, it's yours and no one can take it away from you and no one's going to take it away from you. It's exactly what B'nai Yisrael needed in Mitzrayim. 210 years of slave mentality, of subjugation, of answering to someone else. Hashem says, that's not how I can have my Am. My Am has to be set up so that it becomes theirs. And thus, they have to unshackle themselves from what Mitzrayim represents, and they have to take ownership. And that's exactly what Karban Pesach is. That's exactly what HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is. The truth of the matter is, in the ideal world and in the correct world, there'd be no wake-up in yeshiva. There'd be no migunim in the morning. There'd be no rabbein walking into the dorms. Because if that happens, and the Rosh Yeshiva looks you in the eye, says, good morning, maybe I'm doing it for him. Maybe I don't want to look like Rosh Yeshiva came into the dorms. When you take ownership, when you take bailus, it's yours, then all of a sudden, no one can take it away from you. If you do it because of X, Y, and Z, something external, doesn't last. Doesn't last. When it's yours, when it's HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, then it's a Kesher Shel Kayam. And my bracha to all of us is in every single aspect of Avodas Hashem, Lo Tases, Ases, Tfila, Talmud Torah, set goals, finite goals, so I can reach them, reachable goals, with clarity, this parak by this date, this amount of chazaras, this masechet by Purim, by Pesach, real goals, davening goals, brachas goals, you hear what I'm saying? Not fire and brimstone. But if you bring it inside, if you take it in, and then you concretize it, yeah, it makes sense. I want it to last. I want ownership. I want it to be lachem, mine. Then all of a sudden, it's a whole new world. A whole new world. Good test. Friday morning chakras. But Bay, I'm not here. No one's here. It's up to you. It's up to you. No nigunim Friday morning. It's up to you. It's yours. Is it yours? Is it not yours? Do we sleep late or do we go and get up for an 8:30 shacharis? It's yours. If you don't make it on a Friday, I can guarantee you, within a few months after you leave yeshiva, it's not going to be there. Friday's your test. Friday's your test. Post-night saves your test. Shabbos, an out Shabbos, is your test. Is it you? Is it HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem? Last point for Yehuda Stricken. It all starts with a sense of Messiah's name. With a sense of Messiah's name. And I'm not telling you, and I'm not going to stand over here and say, it's easy. It's no big deal. I'm not going to say that. There are challenges, there are ups, and there are downs. And you have to give something up. But when you're moser nefesh, you do give something up, then it becomes yours. You're moser nefesh. For example, for Shana Bet, your Moser Nefesh, for example, to defend Klal Yisrael, to be the Shliach of Hashem in defending his people. Didn't have to do it. Your Moser Nefesh for that. Your Moser Nefesh in your learning, in Chesed, in Tzedakah. When you give up of yourself, that's how you make these kinyanim. That's how you grow. That's how you become a great person. That's how you can go ahead and look at Shamayim and be boundless. See the godless ha'adam and really, truly achieve. So my bracha, my fundamental bracha, is understand. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. You don't have too many chodashim here. A few short months. And you have to make it happen. Not for me. Not for me. Not for all the visitors. And I will close with the following. We had a lot of visitors in yeshiva the past week. And I mean rabbinic visitors. And they came to this yeshiva, and overall, they're quite impressed. This yeshiva was not the same yeshiva 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they see. They're impressed. And I, of course, hear what they have to say. Yes, we have great guys. Yashar Koyach. And it is, anytime they're impressed, it's not because of me. It's not because of the Rabbeim. It's because of you guys. And if you're impressed, so yes, you deserve a Yashar Koyach. You deserve a Karas HaTov. But we also know that we could be so much more. We could be so much bigger. We could really accomplish so much, Mesiras Nefesh, slaughter those holy cows that we always grab onto, that we always seize, and have that sense of ownership, of HaChodesh HaZelachem. And if you do, then you too will be coming back, always strengthening us, always strengthening Shana Aleph guys, always strengthening your Abayim, and hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, be strengthened yourselves. And that bond you have to Eretz Yisrael, to Toas Hashem, to your bonus holder, to your yeshiva, is going to be one that's going to be with you for the rest of your lives. Have a great Shabbos.